Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. It's been a busy couple of days over the weekend. Well, let's get to the docket. First, hashtag arrest Will Smith. Some leaked documents in the Delphi murder. A suspect in the Naomi I. Ryan matter. An Alex Murdoch update. Some pickleball mischief. A politician in trouble. I can only imagine what he's in trouble for. And then our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. Let's get to the docket. But before we do that, you know the drill. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe. Hit that like button. Leave me a comment. Make sure you hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And remember, we put up a video every day and we go live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Mountain Time. Please join us. And then after our live show, we have an exclusive Patreon show. So if you'd like to join us for that, please do so. And last but not least, you can also listen to us by downloading Crime Talk with Scott Reich on any of your favorite podcasting apps. And we just hit over 700,000 downloads. So yeah, we're no Joe Rogan who gets like, I don't know, 11 million in a day, but we're getting there. We're coming for you, Joe. We're coming for you in a good way. We like you, okay? Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie. So we created a high-quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked. All right, let's open the record. Monday, March 28th for the docket. Hashtag arrest Will Smith. Okay, we've all probably seen or heard by now the slap heard around the world. Take a look at this.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? That was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow. Wow.
This is the video from the somewhat shocking moment at the Oscars where Will Smith walks up and smacks Chris Rock in the face after he made a joke about Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. So Chris Rock was on stage presenting the award for Best Documentary, but before he read the nominees, he made a joke about Jada's shaved head, saying he couldn't wait to see G.I. Jane 2. Well, Jada didn't like the joke. Apparently, neither did Will Smith. It's not a fashion choice. She has a medical issue that apparently results in her hair loss. Well, then Will Smith then storms up on the stage, smacks Chris Rock across the face, leaving Chris Rock somewhat stunned. And he states, "Wow, Will Smith just smacked the blank out of me," he says. Will yells at Chris, "Keep his wife's name out of his mouth." Chris eventually regains his composure and continues presenting the award. Now, with Will Smith seems to have people on his side, including Denzel Washington and Tyler Perry, who were seen comforting Smith during a commercial break. Will was not escorted out after assaulting Chris Rock. And not too long after the smack, Will Smith won an Oscar for the Best Actor. Then Will Smith gets up and gives some sort of a rambling, bizarre speech where he tries to defend his actions while fighting back tears. Towards the end of the speech, Will says, love will make you do crazy things. But not everyone seems to have the same opinion about that smack. Hashtag arrest Will Smith is trending on Twitter, and people call for the actor to face assault charges. And that's what I want to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, because the LAPD sees an incident of an assault, unprovoked, I might add, where self-defense and consent is not an issue as a possible defense. They see on national, international TV, sees Will Smith go up and hit Chris Rock. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big Chris Rock fan. I like Will Smith, but he was wrong. Well, the LAPD says that Chris Rock does not want to file charges. My response to that is, so what? I've not seen a case where the police are aware of a crime and the victim says, I don't want to press charges. Don't go forward with it. This case can be proven. It's on video. Chris Rock, the victim, normally the prosecutor would like to have the victim show up and say, that's the guy that smacked me in the face and caused me pain, right? The elements of the case. But in this particular case, it can be inferred by circumstantial evidence based upon the smack as well as Chris Rock's reaction. And if you've ever heard of an excited utterance, this was an excited utterance. This is not hearsay. So it would be admissible as to the statements made by Chris Rock if he didn't show up at court, because it was a statement made basically before he could really react and have time to think about it. And so it would be admissible. So the reason that the LAPD is stating that they're not going to file charges because Chris Rock doesn't want to go forward with charges or fill out a police report is really of no relevance. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. If the victim had any say in the matter, there probably would be no domestic violence cases ever, because people would say, I don't want to do that out of fear of retaliation. Oh my gosh, how am I going to support myself? Anything along those lines. I would submit to you, the only reason why Will Smith is not being charged for assaulting somebody on national and international TV, well, it's a little bit of privilege. Apparently, the Hollywood elite have a little bit special legal system for them that wouldn't apply to you and me. Let me give you a quick example. If you or your spouse or somebody didn't like something that took place, maybe at your kid's soccer game or baseball game or school play, and you went up and smacked somebody because you didn't like what somebody said, you would be charged. And the fact that it was on video would be more likely that you would be prosecuted. So, hashtag arrest Will Smith. Let me know in the comments what you think should happen. And it wasn't staged. Let's just cut to the chase. It wasn't staged. So let me know what you think. Next on the docket, some information has been leaked from the police handling the Delphi murders. Now, this has been out for a little while, but it's still rather interesting. Because as you may recall, it's been 5 years since Liberty German and Abigail Williams were found murdered in Delphi, Indiana, and nobody has been arrested or charged in regards to the killing. Now, a man linked to the fake Instagram profile used to catfish the two Indiana teens has admitted contacting them the night before they were killed, and now a leaked police transcript shows, but he is not a suspect in the murder. Police believe the Instagram profile of Anthony Schatz was used by 27-year-old Keegan Anthony Klein to solicit explicit pictures from underage females on social media. And somebody using the Anthony Schatz Instagram account was the last to contact Liberty and Abigail before they were murdered. Now, a police transcript was leaked in an interview that took place of August 19th of 2020 when Klein was arrested and charged with 30 felonies, including child exploitation, possession of child pornography, obstruction of justice, and synthetic identity deception, but nothing related to the Delphi murders. Well, the Indiana State Police questioned Klein extensively about the fake Instagram account, and Klein initially denied talking to a girl named Liberty German. Klein eventually admits to talking to the girl for a few hours before blocking her because she was, quote, annoying him, end quote. And throughout the interview, Klein had insisted he did not remember specifically talking to Liberty, as he had used the Anthony Schatz profile to talk to multiple young girls. Now, officers claim that Anthony Schatz arranged to meet Liberty at the Delphi Bridge the day she died, but Klein insists that is a lie. The officers tell him that one of the girls in contact with the Anthony Schatz account asked him if he had heard what happened to Liberty, and Schatz replied, OMG, what happened? And yeah, we were supposed to meet, but she never showed up. Klein insists he never wrote that message. The officer tells Klein he believes he did not murder either girl, but he needs to know who else had access to the fake Instagram account. Klein tells him multiple people have access to the account, including his father. At the end of the interview, the officers remind Klein that he failed a polygraph test twice when asked if he knew who killed the teens, and say he deleted his search history shortly afterwards. Why would you, after you failed the polygraph about knowing about the Delphi investigation, come home, delete your Snapchat and your Instagram, which you used to communicate with Libby, and then you searched how long does DNA last? Klein claimed he probably searched that because he'd given a sample to police. In a separate jailhouse interview, journalist Barbara McDonald said Klein admitted setting up the Anthony Schatz profile to solicit nude images from underage girls, but insisted he was not trying to meet any of the girls in real life. Now, Klein also told McDonald that he was sure he was not going to be charged with the murders and that the investigators suspected his father as the one allegedly being responsible. Klein apparently said, because when I first got arrested, they told me that they knew it was my dad, and if I tell them, all my charges will be dropped. He told McDonald that his father was abusive and once held guns on him and his mother. He also claimed that his dad liked younger women and once boasted he had apparently had sexual relationships with a 17-year-old when Klein was 20. Klein is due back in court on his other matters on April 14th. The Delphi murders is a very unusual case in the sense that they have kind of a suspect, and failing a polygraph certainly is not admissible. But if there was sufficient evidence to potentially arrest the father, well, there's still not enough to get probable cause. Patience, 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 I guess, is the word of the day when it comes to the Delphi murders. All right, next on the docket, a suspect in the Naomi Irion matter. All right, a suspect in the alleged kidnapping of the Nevada teenager Naomi Irion, who was last seen in a Walmart parking lot, has been arrested. The Lyon County Sheriff's Office said it has also impounded a pickup truck that was possibly involved in the 18-year-old Naomi's disappearance. The suspect has been identified as Troy Driver. He's 41 of Fallon, Nevada, and is being held on kidnapping charges. Now, Naomi's mother, Diane Irion, said, "I am so excited and joyful, yet I'm super terrified because we still don't have her back. They still have her, or they've stashed her somewhere, and they haven't told us where." Now, the search continues for Naomi, who was last seen inside her car in the parking lot of a Walmart in Fernley, Nevada. She was waiting for the shuttle to take her to her job when a man got into the driver's seat and drove off with Naomi in the car. The sheriff's office found the car days later in an industrial park about a mile from Walmart. They said they found evidence in the car that was suspicious and suggested that her disappearance was criminal in nature. Naomi's family said they are optimistic about finding Naomi after the arrest of the driver. Naomi's brother, Casey Valley, said, "I feel in my heart that Naomi is still alive." Irion's family has made multiple public pleas for her safe return. They're asking for any help because this incident happened so close to Interstate 80. Her mother believes and stated during a press conference that she could be anywhere in the nation by now. So she begged for somebody to please save her daughter and bring her home. If anyone has any information, contact the police. Next on the docket, an Alex Murdaugh update. Well, it looks like he's confessing, not in the criminal case per se, but all of his answers, even in the civil case, can be used against him. Not a big surprise here, but Alex Murdaugh has formally admitted to owing $4.3 million to the Satterfield family in what is referred to as a confession of judgment. And that was filed last week at the courthouse. Now, Murdoch also confessed to, get this word, engaging in defalcation while acting in a fiduciary capacity. Now, defalcation, not something you use every day, refers to the misuse, mishandling, or embezzlement of money, specifically by someone in a fiduciary role. A fiduciary is somebody that is their duty to look out for the other person's interest and not their own, right? Like the client. That's a fiduciary relationship. I think one could say that Mr. Murdoch breached that fiduciary relationship. And for those who aren't familiar, back in 2018, Murdoch was sued for the wrongful death of his longtime housekeeper, Gloria Satterfield, who died at his property, his hunting property in South Carolina. Now, Murdoch allegedly spearheaded the scheme to steal the entirety of the family's $4.3 million settlement. And he's accused of suggesting that the Satterfield family sue him and arranging for his best friend, Corey Fleming, to be their attorney. He's also accused of securing the $4.3 million settlement by threatening his insurance company that should the case go to trial, he would confess to being at fault for Gloria Satterfield's death and then sue his insurance company for bad faith. Now, Murdoch is also accused of removing Tony Satterfield from his mother's estate and replacing him with Chad Westendorf, the VP of Palmetto State Bank. And although Westendorf says he never met the Satterfield boys and was just paid $30,000 for a couple of his signatures. And lastly, Murdoch is accused of taking the $3.9 million and funneling it through a fake bank account. The bank account wasn't fake, just the company that had the account was. Meanwhile, the Satterfield family, who were still grieving the loss of their mother, never actually received a dime from the Murdoch. Now, Murdoch faces 13 charges in the Satterfield matter, including a conspiracy charge. Mr. Fleming, the alleged co-conspirator, faces 18 charges in that particular case. Now, Mr. Murdoch is facing a total of 78 charges for the alleged financial crimes and a bizarre suicide for hire shooting that he claims was insurance fraud. He's still being held at the Richland County Detention Center on a $7 million cash bond. Fleming turned himself in back on March 17th and was released on a $100,000 bond, which was posted shortly after his release. I told you, ladies and gentlemen, this Murdoch case is going to show a lot of corruption within the legal system there in South Carolina. My experience with South Carolina law is that it is the ultimate good old boy network, and it seems to have come out. What it boils down to, there's no way that this was the first time Alex Murdoch had done something of this nature, and it's very obvious that he could not do it without lots of help from his friends. We know one of his best friends and the godfather of his child, Buster, has been charged. So I'm only assuming people even closer to him as well will also be charged in the near future. We'll continue to follow that case. Well, frankly, I know some people aren't interested in it, but I really am. I think it's an interesting case. Next on the docket, some pickleball mischief. Now, pickleball is apparently one of the fastest growing sports in the nation, and recently, and now we have our first pickleball related felony. And who is it? It's a 71-year-old retiree who has been charged with defacing a rec center's floor to mark boundaries for the game. This gentleman, Arslan Gunney, G-U-N-E-Y, is accused of felony criminal mischief, and theoretically faces 3 years in prison. Now, his attorney and his supporters in the local pickleball community say the charge is ridiculous. In no way did he intend to damage the floors, according to his attorney, Holland Hoskin. This is not a crime. This is not criminal mischief. Now, according to a friend, Mr. Gunney is what they refer to as the mayor of pickleball. He and others play pickleball at the Central Park Rec Center on Mondays and Wednesdays. And I should, out of fairness, let you know that the rec center is within sight from my residence, okay? Having lived there for 5 years, though, I have yet to make it to the rec center. But apparently, there's a lot of pickleball going on there. So apparently, this gentleman, this 71-year-old, thought that some of the lines were too faded. So he used a marker to put down some temporary marks on the court to show where the pickleball boundaries actually were. Well, this sent the Central Park Rec Center staff into a tizzy, whereupon then they applied something to remove the Sharpie marks, whereupon it destroyed the floor. So what would any good government employee do? That's right. I mean, sure, they put down the liquid that actually damaged the floor. So let's blame the guy that put the Sharpie marks down. There you go. Well, guess what? He's charged with felony criminal mischief because if you cause $1,000 damage to another person's property, that's right, you could be charged with a felony. It used to be only $500, but they upped that. So needless to say, this gentleman had to turn himself in because the crime is a felony because it's estimated that it'll cost $10,000 to refinish the floors. And this gentleman's supporters say that that number is just simply ridiculous. And he has offered to repair the floor. There are apparently floor people who are willing to come forward and fix the floor, but the city is having nothing to do with it. And this fine 71-year-old gentleman, the mayor of pickleball, got to spend the day in custody. You gotta love America, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, all the crime going on in the world, and yet we want to pick on the 71-year-old pickleball mayor. Come on. Well, a politician is in trouble. Can I see a show of hands? Who thinks he's in trouble for corruption? Can I see a show of hands that think he's maybe in trouble for sexual misconduct? Well, a former gubernatorial candidate from the great state of Maine was bailed out of jail on Saturday after his arrest on charges of, guess what? That's right. We didn't say it because we don't want to get demonetized, but you know what it is. Well, it gets even more interesting. You know, when they're running around arresting 71-year-old pickleball people, the politician said, hold my beer, I'm 75, and he gets arrested for that. Yeah, that's right. 75-year-old Elliot Cutler ran for governor as an independent using his personal wealth to pay for not one, but two unsuccessful campaigns. Now, Cutler is a native of Bangor, Maine, and has been involved in politics for decades, including a stint working under President Jimmy Carter. Now, the Maine State Police Computer Crime Unit arrested Cutler without incident on Friday at one of his homes and his wife, Cher, in Brooklyn, Maine. Warrants were executed on two of Cutler's homes earlier in the week. The counts correspond with crime authorities say Cutler committed allegedly from December through March. Materials were still being reviewed at the Hancock County District Attorney's Office, but they say that it wouldn't surprise me if more charges were on the way. Of course there probably will, because they're going to be reviewing computers, ladies and gentlemen, and they're probably going to hit the mother load, so to speak, of this guy's, that's right. So back in December, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children informed the Maine State Police that someone in Maine had either downloaded or uploaded a single illegal image. Cutler now faces four counts of possession of the sexually explicit material of a child under 12. That's right, 1-2. That's according to the prosecutors. Now, each count carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison, and we will give the former ex-gubernatorial candidate the presumption of innocence, because that's what we do here. But geez, really? 75-year-old? Geez, what is going on? And next on the docket, before we close the record, let's talk about our dumb criminal. First, let's get to the winner from last week. Now, although we still don't have an identified winner, the winner is the anonymous driver in the flying Tesla in Los Angeles that hit several trash cans and at least two parked cars when he went flying over the hill. Let's take a look at it. It never gets old. Come on. There you go. Now, today's dumb criminal contestant. Now, ladies and gentlemen, over the years, we have been in receipt of some criticism. Why do you say dumb? Why do you use that term? Some of these people have other issues going on. I get it. Okay, we're not calling them dumb, except for today's contestant. I'm specifically going on a limb and saying that Lisa Castro is dumb, okay? And I can say that. You know why? Because the truth is the defense to any sort of defamation claim. And let me tell you how I came to that conclusion. Please meet Lisa Castro. She called 911 to report to being upset because she only received 4 pieces of chicken instead of the 8 that she had ordered. She also said that the manager at the KFC near the Cleveland, Ohio KFC where she went was refusing to give her the rest of her chicken order. Now, upon arriving at the KFC, the Euclid Police Department officer explained to Ms. Castro that her chicken beef was not a police matter. No charges were filed in connection with the 911 call, and while we are here to serve the public, an innocent drive-through order is not a police matter, according to the police chief, a guy by the name of Scott Meyer. I agree. I understand, Ms. Castro, we have all gone somewhere and not received what we ordered in the bag once it comes through the drive-thru. But to call 911, I mean, come on. Seriously, that's just dumb. But at least you didn't shoot anybody or stab them or assault anybody. So although you're still dumb, at least you didn't assault somebody. Good for you, Ms. Castro. You're learning. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.